Those Damn Ross Kids is a podcast for adults. Also, the views expressed in Those Damn Ross Kids do not reflect the opinions of our employers or even ourselves.
How did you make this, like, word collage thing?
I used Wordle.net.
I expect the urine to be bigger.
Yeah, me too. I like the unintentional word pairings.
Circumcision book.
Blood drunk day baby.
Esteem breast.
Clown dream.
Dead disorder.
Toilet sexting.
House birds need mental meat.
Government urine.
Tickle anonymous walking Elmas.
Crime porn.
Sex reverse robot.
Meet Charlie.
Do you want to do the reverse robot?
Oh man, we're gonna need more lube and batteries.
Those Damn Ross Kids, a conversation between brothers, featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
Hey Chris, what episode is this?
Episode number 41 of Those Damn Ross Kids. I am.
Chris, I am.
No, I am. Sorry. You are Cole.
Okay, thank you. Whew. Identity crisis there. Identity.
Sometimes I.
Yeah.
Is tricky.
It's an existential concept. Who are we? What are we?
I'm looking at a sign, a picture of a sign.
Yeah.
Of a seafood restaurant, an oyster bar in Wilmington, North Carolina. That, you know how there's the sign and then there's a sign where you can put letters on and make a sign?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a sign and below it there's a sign and it says, "We are open until the letters fly off this sign."
How quickly did the letters fly off that sign?
I don't know.
Chris, don't bring this information to me without being able to complete the story.
Well, I really don't want to talk about it. 8 people died in that restaurant.
Man.
From seafood poisoning.
Every single body cavity was just stuffed to the brim with hush puppy.
What are you going
to
do?
It's a silent death. Ironically. Hush. Hush.
Hush, little puppy. Don't make a sound.
Do you want to hit the long john?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's yeah. Go.
Yeah.
And then we can ship for distance.
No, I like to ship for viscosity. Whoever.
And in a tie, we'll ship for speed. Thanks, Cake.
Hey, Chris, do you have a story for me?
I do. I have a few.
Oh, I have several, too.
What do we want to talk about?
Tell me a story about magical lands.
Magical lands.
And fantastic journeys or voyages.
Voyages. I don't have anything about voyages.
Mythical creatures.
No creatures.
The hero's journey.
I can tell you about a hero's journey.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you about the American farmer.
Truly a hero.
Truly a hero. Donovan Seavers, 77. There's commas there. Figure it out.
Okay.
He lived in Stockton, Iowa. Did you catch that?
I caught that.
I said he lived.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Suspense, you're foreshadowing.
He was hauling hay bales with his John Deere tractor.
Of course.
About noon the other day. When the hitch connecting the hay rack broke, the weight and the momentum of the hay rack pushed Seavers' tractor into a ditch, and Seavers died in the accident. Donovan's son, Lonnie, said, "This is the way he wanted to go." Family members who gathered at the scene Thursday afternoon said they found him lying beside the tractor dead. Donovan's brother-in-law is quoted as saying, "Guess we got to use tractors with cabs."
So he got buried in the hay and died that way?
No, I think he got squashed by the tractor.
Okay.
I have a hard time trusting these people to make things I put in me.
A little bit.
I wanted to go being squashed by an implement.
I wanted to have my insides put on the outside of me by the very thing which I make my living from.
Yeah.
You know,
that's the way you wanted to go.
I mean, nobody...
That's how I saw it happening.
Who decides how they want to go? I mean, just like you're just like, oh, I want to go quietly in my sleep, surrounded by loved ones. No, that's bullshit. No, this is not how that guy went. I refuse to believe that anybody wanted to die the way that I died, unless they died in a rocket careening into the sun in order to save the Earth for some reason. That is the only acceptable scenario in which somebody could say, yeah, that is exactly how I wanted my demise to be.
I mean, I'm going to roll over at some point in bed the wrong way at age 55 and my liver is going to squash me. That's how that's going to happen. I mean, I know it.
Nobody says, I want to die right after I hit the final keystroke on my greatest novel. No, people say they want to die like balls deep in a big-titted Asian hooker.
Why not? There's room.
Are you saying that all these things can happen at once?
Every day.
Every day.
Every day somewhere.
We just don't hear about it.
We don't know.
Huh. Since we're talking about things that are careening out of control, why don't we head over to New York, specifically a town called Gaines, where a septic truck lost control, went over the center line, hit a stop sign, and then careened into the living room of a house. Okay? The truck was carrying 200 gallons of fresh water and, in a separate compartment, 300 gallons of human waste. Chris, which one of those busted open and leaked?
Human waste.
Nope, Chris. You're a glass half empty kind of person. It was the fresh water. Sometimes stuff works out, right? I mean, yes, the house was still considered uninhabitable, you know, but mostly because of structural damage, not because of a biohazard. This is what we call a happy accident, maybe?
Why was this notable to you? Was this all a test? Was this to make me feel horrible about my outlook on the world?
Mostly. I wanted to see how you would react to that question.
I'm going
to
read you a story right now.
Okay.
That's going to just tear you apart. And if it's in the same vein.
Okay.
I'm going to read the story verbatim exactly how it was. Exactly how I saw it.
Okay.
Nashville, Tennessee. Canisters of frozen bull semen that fell from a Greyhound bus caused a minor scare when emergency officials found them emitting vapor by the side of the road near downtown Nashville. The canisters just fell off just before 6 a.m. on Tuesday as the bus traveled around the curve of a ramp to Interstate 65. Metro Nashville police and fire officials were called to the scene because of reports of a foul odor coming from the leaking canisters. Officials shut down the ramp until they determined what was in the containers, but the scene was cleared around 9.
So this highway was shut down because of rotten bull spunk?
Yes. That fell from a Greyhound bus.
Wait a minute. So this wasn't an approved... Oh, no. This is worse than I thought. From a...
See,
is this...
everything that's going through your head right now...
Yeah.
...was the reason I picked this. Because it lacks all pertinent details. It creates more questions than you knew were possible in your brain.
This is like this is the premise for a Twin Peaks-esque television show.
Who was transporting this semen?
Is this biological terrorism? Sounds like it.
Why was the semen on a Greyhound bus?
Why was it vaporing?
How did it fall out?
Was it thrown? Was this intentional? I mean, I imagine if bull semen is worth putting into a container, it has to be like monetarily valuable, right?
It's worth several dollars.
It's worth several dollars.
U.S. dollars, yes, several dollars.
What if this was like a shipment to some kind of like genetic Noah's Ark? We're going to put a satellite full of, you know, of genetic materials into the sky, so after some future cataclysm, we're able to genetically re-engineer humans. Well, what if we don't have bulls anymore? What if all cows are gone? All cattle. It's not a thing anymore. This was humanity's last hope.
We're going to have to mark the spot where this all fell and have a female cow go rip her vagina on the road.
To scoot like a dog?
Yeah, it's a scratch and fuck.
Gross. Can you imagine how awful, how potent that must have been in order to be smelled off the side of the road?
No, I can't. Can you?
I mean, I can try, but I have to go into some deep, dark places. Okay, so vapor. Because like they say vapor, and I'm thinking like a sci-fi movie, like a.
Well, I think
like
it was in like some sort of cryogenically frozen container.
Oh, okay. So yeah, like I was thinking like dry ice would be involved. So okay, huh? You're right. More questions, huh?
But F these people for writing such little detail.
The story, I think, was specifically designed to get on the show. I don't think that's real.
That happened.
Well, since we're talking about genetic material, can I tell you about a Dutch artist and what he has discovered slash made?
Of course.
He led a team of scientists to merge human skin cells with spider silk harvested from the milk of genetically modified goats, okay? The result is human skin that can stop a .22 caliber bullet, albeit one that isn't traveling at full speed.
Spider goat,
spider goat, does whatever a spider goat can.
That's right.
Eats a can, any size, spins a web, and eats flies. Look out. Boom. Here comes the spider goat.
The goat passed out.
Yeah. He fell over. He was a fainting goat. But
he was a fainting spider goat. That's he can't sell this to Halliburton because he used fainting goat DNA. That's how that happened.
His skin can stop the bullet. But he passes out from the shock of hearing the bullet. It's a contradiction. It's kind of like a drunk driver is less likely to get injured because he's loosey goosey. It's a hidden benefit.
It is.
But yeah, no. This was done as part of a study to figure out what kind of safety is socially relevant. Is it worth making a race of people with spider web skin in order to be bulletproof? That kind of thing. So it won't stop like a bullet. It won't pass any bulletproof tests. But still, it's hey, we were able to do this. And I'm going to have to quote one of the greatest movies of all time by saying we spent so much time wondering if we could make spider goat men that we didn't think about if we should make spider goat men. And that movie is Revenge of the Spider Goat Men, Milk of Silk. Yeah. But no, that's a thing. That's how they mass produce spider silk for next generation body armor and stuff like that. Because spider silk has a really high tensile strength, but milking spiders is difficult and dangerous. So they genetically modify these goats and then they extract the protein from the goat milk. It's really weird. But I'm just picturing some kind of future after all biological ethics are gone, and just life on Earth becomes the island of Dr. Moreau. Yeah, just crazy animal human hybrids. It's frightening.
Are you done workshopping your graphic novel that I'll tell you I read, but I'm not really gonna read?
Chris, I need notes.
Okay. I'm sure you have other people you can ask.
Okay. Not really. No, you're my only. No.
Oh God. Oh.
You're it. You're my
That's
focus
a shame.
Group. Chris, you're a test group of one. I'm writing it specifically for you.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, a little bit.
Work on that, please.
I will.
Please do it. Hey, you don't have to put this in the show, but I read that the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco is putting up a net.
To catch bodies?
Yeah, to catch people from jumping, because it's on pace to set a record of people jumping off of it. Apparently, 37 people is the record, and that was in the 70s, and there's going to be enough people jumping off that bridge to be able to set a new record, so they're going to put a $37 million net.
So then won't they just go to the Bay Bridge?
The Bay Bridge. Which one's the one that's famous?
The Golden Gate Bridge.
The Golden Gate Bridge. Anyway, that bridge only cost $10 million to build. And they're going to put a $37 million net on it. That's where we're at now.
Have you seen and or heard of a documentary called The Bridge?
No.
No. What it is, a team set up stationary cameras on the Golden Gate Bridge, and they just let them run for a year, and they basically made a documentary out of all the people who jumped off, and they found their families and heard the stories about the circumstances that led them to it.
Well, the goal with this net is to make sure that it hurts.
Well, because if it's that big of a net, it's not going to be ooh, soft nylon, catch you at the bottom, catch you if you fall off the slide of Chuck E. Cheese net. It's going to be like cabling, right?
It's going to be horrible.
Well, I mean, all it'll do is like dice you up, so when you go into the water, you're nice and chummy.
The autopsies that are performed on people who jump from that bridge.
Yeah.
indicate that they just like puncture lungs, break ribs, and like break their limbs and just drowned.
So they don't like, well, yeah.
They don't die from impact. They literally just like are battered to death and then drown.
That's awful.
So if that's not scary enough.
Let's make it so that you survive this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's give you some abrasions, that's some awful. Contusions.
Chris, American Apparel is adding extra large sizes to its lineup, a first for the clothing company. To accompany this product launch, they have started a search for people to model the line. The only problem is that they're calling this the search for, quote, the next big thing.
I assume you're going to insert a sound bite here.
No, that's like calling a charity that gives money to amputees. Like we're going to give you a leg up. That's like marketing a dating service for diabetics that promises to help you find your sweetheart. That's just like incredibly insensitive. You know, I know that the body image and, you know, that's been done to death. But just like, it's already now, okay, you're going to be a model, so you're going to be a thing. We're going to just like, you know, the next big thing. Are you going to give me anything?
No.
God damn it, Chris.
That article did not elicit any response from me. You're going to have to do better.
Okay, well, you do better for me, okay? Because I'm actually like, I'm legitimately getting mad here. Go ahead.
Why?
Because I'm like, I'm putting stuff out and you're not giving me anything.
Well, I didn't have anything to say about
okay,
that.
Okay.
What do you want me to do? Try. You want me to make stuff up?
Yeah, try. That's what I do.
Okay.
Go ahead. I'll show you how to do it.
No, this is it. No, that's it.
Go.
No, that's it.
What's it?
That's it. We're done.
Go.
Bye. I'm still here. Are you?
Yeah, I'm still here. Go.
All right. Go where?
Give me your story.
Fine. A Monterey Park yogurt shop owner is facing kidnapping and attempted murder charges for abducting a female employee. Robert Lee allegedly lured an employee to a storage room above Oh My Yogurt.
What?
Knocked her unconscious, and then after removing her clothing and dressing her in an adult diaper, placed her in a box. The victim told authorities that when she came to, she was bound with tape and had a collar around her neck. Prosecutors believe Lee planned the kidnapping because the storage room had recently been soundproofed. Woman was able to free herself and escape to a nearby optometrist's office.
You could say she made a spectacle of herself.
The optometrist's office was called I Can See Clearly Now.
Was it?
No.
What is going on in this town?
I don't know. Oh, my yogurt.
Oh, it doesn't make any sense.
Oh, my yogurt. Forget the fact that the girl was bound, gagged, and put in an adult diaper.
Yeah. No, that was
her mistake for working at Oh My Yogurt.
Yeah. No. When you work at an establishment with that awful of a name, you sign yourself up for any number of abuses.
Comes back to my theory of bitches deserved it.
Okay. That's awful. But but I mean,
she didn't deserve that. She shouldn't have been put in a diaper.
No. But how is the fact that his storage closet was soundproof proof that this was premeditated? He could have been a podcaster.
He could have been
trying to reduce the amount of echo, the amount of bleed they call it in the industry, the amount of bleed.
I put on a diaper every time we start because I don't know how long it's going to go.
No. We could go for... This is a little known fact about the show. We record for 5 hours to get
sometimes
that 1 hour.
Sometimes six.
Sometimes six. But yeah. You know, I always pack a light lunch for those long ones.
Yeah.
And an extra diaper.
We just peruse and then read about 30 periodicals and then you spend what? You spend what? Sunday through Monday, early Tuesday editing?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could say that adult diapers are pretty integral to this process because
they are.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, in the diaper genie, dear God, gotta love that, right?
The adult diaper genie.
The adult diaper genie.
How big is that?
It is about the size of a kegerator.
It just sits next to the dryer. I had to get an all-in-one washer and dryer to make room for the adult diaper genie.
Well, I tried using, you know, the cloth diapers, but that's just... Nightmares. Nightmares. Nightmares.
That is horrible.
Did she have any comment about this? Or is this another one of those news articles that was like a thing happened? Did they get any insight? Are there quotes?
Victims don't comment generally.
Oh, man. It's like, oh, man, it was the worst.
They don't do that.
Is it implied that this is a sex thing or is it a power thing?
Not sure. But in all reality, seriously, like, aren't they both really?
I guess. No, they're about the same thing.
Sex is power.
Yep. And power is sex. It's a Möbius strip.
What?
A study out of Columbia University has determined that there is a link between social networking and bad behavior in teens. Teenagers who spent any amount of time at all on social networking sites were 5 times more likely to smoke cigarettes, 3 times more likely to drink, and twice as likely to smoke marijuana compared with kids who don't. So the conclusion here is that people with friends tend to drink and do drugs.
So people who have fake internet friends do that? What do people who have real friends in the real world? Do they play wiffle ball?
I would think that this is more of if you weren't allowed to be on Facebook or any kind of like social networking, chances are you live in a strict household and you're going to, you know, do all that stuff when you go to college and like die of an overdose and like, oh, we never saw it coming.
He was such a good boy. He was
such a good boy before.
Such a good boy.
Before he abducted that girl and bediapered her. But this isn't like people from your Warcraft guild. There's somebody on the other end of this that you probably know in real life. But I mean, all of this is neglecting the fact that like, how often is it that there's a person that there are kids who don't do this, who aren't on these websites? It's like ubiquitous now, right?
I have no idea what that word means.
Everywhere.
Oh yeah, it's everywhere.
Pervasive.
Yeah. I guess I could just cut to the chase and say that kids today are doing the same thing that they did 40 years ago.
Yeah. Now we just decided to find a correlation.
Yeah. We're looking for answers and it's really annoying.
To you?
Yeah. That we're looking for answers to things that have been done forever.
Because people are always going to get high and people are always going to find ways to get fucked up.
Exactly. That's how that's going to happen. Why don't we go to these research labs with like a bunch of craft supplies and tell them to make the devil instead of trying to make a devil out of shit that they can't?
Yeah, I guess.
At least that would be productive. At least that would be artistic.
Make a god's eye.
Yeah.
Here, have some yarn and some popsicle sticks. What do you mean?
Everybody can point to the problem.
What's the problem?
Whatever they think.
I guess.
My point is there is no problem. They're just doing what they do.
It's just humanity.
They're doing what they do. That's all there is to it.
They being stupid kids.
They being anything.
If you put Facebook or if you put any of these trendy things in your study title, you're going to get A, funding, and you're going to get syndicated out to all these websites and be talked about on podcasts. You know, why don't we just put Lady Gaga and Groupon in there? You know, do people who listen to Lady Gaga, are they more likely to use Groupon? I don't know.
I don't know either.
Are they maybe?
It goes way back, though.
Does it?
They've done it since the beginning of time, even since medieval times.
Like the restaurant?
No, like the actual times.
Do you have an example?
I do. I have an example from today.
Okay. Wait.
Some sort of correlation.
Okay.
I'm sure. I'll let you infer. A Halliburton executive took a sip of fracking fluid. In an effort to show the controversial process of injecting chemicals deep into bedrock to push out the gas, natural gas is safe, Halliburton CEO Dave Lassar had a fellow executive take a sip of CleanStim, a concoction he says can be safely used for hydraulic fracturing, while at a conference held by the Colorado Oil and Gas Association. Critics have said the fluids used in the process contain chemicals that leach into the water table and contaminate drinking water, rivers, lakes, and streams. I thought if this stuff was so benign, why wouldn't the CEO drink it himself? Said one environmentalist.
This isn't like Paul Newman eating his dog food. Is it? I don't.
No, it isn't. And the reason that this is medieval is because the king, the CEO, said it's so safe. Executive, drink this.
But is that? It was his point to be like, oh, I didn't drop over dead immediately after this crossbow.
The guy didn't die. But the point is that the CEO didn't do it. He had like one of his underlings do it.
Go do it, VP of drinking whatever I tell you to. It's not a very well desired position, but it has through lines into the very halls of power at the Burton.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Or Halley as
one environmentalist person says, a homeowner in Pennsylvania doesn't have the option of having an underling drink his water. He has to do it himself.
But the entire premise is flawed. You're not going to drop dead after you drink it. What happens after you drink it for 20 years and your kids are like cross-eyed and you lose all your hair and teeth? And it's not like a genetic thing because you come from the hills. That's not the point. There's lots of stuff that I can like take a sip of and be okay. I'm pretty sure if I drank, you know, dish liquid, you know, if I just took a Robitussin capful of that, I might walk away from that. But if I drink a caplet of dish liquid every single day, there might be, you know, some unintended long-term consequences. It's like BPA. It's turning people into ladyboys.
40-50 years down the road, it'll be because those damn kids are using hologram Kindle.
It's getting into their brains, right? And by that, we don't mean the stuff that we put into the water. No. We mean the media that we pump into their heads.
You're not going to think about hologram Kindle at all.
No, because they have the Kindle tablet coming out this fall.
Because the future of Facebook is hologram Kindle.
Is it?
Think about it.
Can you think about it for me and then explain it to me?
No more faces, holograms, no more books, Kindles.
I get it. I get it now. Thank you.
Thank God. That's all I held you down and jammed it in your brain.
Chris, we're going to eventually have to abandon this planet.
Of course.
And I think I found out where we're probably going to go to, at least the richest among us. Can I tell you where they're going to go?
Where?
To a planet discovered by scientists in Australia. Chris, this planet's very special. It's located about 4,000 light years away from Earth. It is currently orbiting a pulsar, and it is thought that it is the remains of a dead star from the Milky Way galaxy. Chris, do you want to know what's special about this planet?
Yes.
Well, radio telescopic telescopography, or whatever the hell that is, whatever they use to determine this, have determined that this crystalline planet is made up almost entirely of diamond. Chris, a diamond planet. Rolling waves of frozen prismatic sky. You slip and fall outside, Chris. It's not leaves of grass. It's leaves of diamond. It'll cut you. Hardest substance known to man.
Chris, space soldiers set iTunes to unsubscribe.
Chris, you can't blow up our planet with your Death Stars. You can't blow up our planet with your, you know, with your conventional explosives. There's nothing of like any value for life. We're going to bring our own water. We're going to bring our own everything. But Chris, we're going to live in opulence. There's no Armageddon situation. There's no deep impact situation. Because any meteor that hits us on planet Diamondoscopus, you know, it'll just, you know, crumble. Nothing can permeate it, Chris. It's impregnable. Can't be impregnated. Chris, when you were learning like economics in high school, did you ever were you ever given the diamonds versus cow patties hypothesis?
What, someone could arbitrarily choose that cow patties would be a commodity?
Well, no, it's just that like you know diamonds are expensive because there's relatively few of them compared to, you know, what we encounter in our everyday life, and cow patties are worthless because there's a lot of them. Right, but what if one day cow patties, you know, there were like five of them in the world and it was raining diamonds, right?
Mm-hmm.
I guess what I'm saying is I have a whole shed out back full of cow patties for when we get to this rock. I'm going to live like a king. I'm going to live like a stinky, stinky king.
I don't think I learned economics in school.
No?
No, I don't.
I think we just like we got to the root of like every problem in America. Nobody learns economics and nobody learns statistics.
We learned American economics.
By which I mean Reaganomics. I think that everybody would be better off if they learned personal finance, economics, statistics, and public speech. That like replace all high school curriculum with those things, and we will have more functional Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. More functional human beings. I'm not joking. That's like a thing. Like I say, let us do that. And you're okay. I also think that it should be mandatory that you know that you work in the service industry for 2 years. You know, like Israel and Sweden, they have like conscription for their military. Like you have to go and serve, and you know you have to go serve.
You have to go serve tables.
You have to go serve tables. Yeah, you have to go, and you know because if we're gonna do this, Chris, if we're gonna go in America to like not making shit. And if we're going to go to like not innovating and we're going to be just entirely a service economy to make people fatter and stupider, then we should all like know what it's like to be on the other end of that.
I know what it's like. I was watching like something like We Are America, this 12 episode miniseries thing on the History Channel.
Okay.
That was on Netflix. And like the first 8 episodes carry us from, no, I'm sorry. The first 10 episodes carry us from the beginning of America all the way up to the 50s.
Okay.
And the last 2 episodes carry us from the 50s until today.
Okay.
And the 50s until today, those 2 episodes basically just are cut together versions of the first 10 episodes.
What?
There's really not much to say after Vietnam.
No.
You know, because like the one about the like the 20s and 30s are like, you know, the 80% of what Americans consume is produced here and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, they're talking about millions of cars and there's nothing to say after that. There's not much that happened here.
No. It's just like, you know, they talk a little bit about the 70s and it's just like a 30 minute montage that the incense peppermints, you know, and then that's it.
We've basically been in a psychedelic swirl for about 52 years.
Then the last episode is just a fade to black that starts at the beginning after the title and it just ends. It's a 1 hour long fade to black. I'll tell you about a study, Chris. Okay.
Okay. Science. Go.
This was conducted in 2010 and it revealed that learning to play the didgeridoo can lessen the effects of snoring and sleep apnea. This is because sleep apnea is the result of weakened airways collapsing during sleep. Study participants were told to practice their didgeridoo 20 minutes a day, snored less, and slept better due to adopting the practice of circular breathing and its strengthening effects on the airways. Circular breathing.
What is a didgeridoo?
You know that thing that looks like a big pipe? And it sounds like... You know that?
Oh, the Australian instrument?
Yeah, yeah. It's Aboriginal.
Yeah.
It's Aboridgeridoo. Yeah.
It's from 1500 years ago.
Yeah. Can you tell me who was initially thought to be the master of the didgeridoo playing? Is there a preeminent maestro of didgeridism?
Danny F and K?
Yeah. That's right. That's right. And what was the name of his best known composition?
God damn it! Where's the Tylenol?
Christmas Vacation. So it's. I mean, what's funny is it's not so much the didgeridoo playing. It's just the idea that learning to circulate, like learning to breathe better, can make you sleep better. That's what this boils down to. But I just like the idea of this obscure instrument being the one agent for change in somebody's life.
I do too.
Yeah, it's funny, right?
I think it's great.
It's perfect.
Staff at a London aquarium have managed to wean a chocoholic fish onto a healthier diet. Staff members at the Sea Life London Aquarium initially could not understand why Gary, an inherited 4-kilogram, 40-centimeter-long gourami, refused to eat. They later discovered that he had been fed nothing but chocolate by his previous owners. To gradually wean Gary off his unhealthy diet, the team began feeding Gary Kit Kat pieces inside grapes. Gouramis usually eat a diet of fruit, but Gary doesn't appear to have suffered any ill effects from his chocolate addiction. One aquarium worker is quoted as saying, "I've never heard of a fish being fed chocolate, let alone being brought up entirely on the stuff." She said, "We would not recommend feeding fish confectionery of any kind."
Chris, there's smoke coming out of my ears right now. This makes no sense.
I think that's a theme for today.
How do you even get a fish to eat? Don't they eat like different? They eat like flakes. They eat like flakes and bugs, right?
Yeah.
How does a
and nougat?
How does a fish eat fruit? Does it like walk down to the market and like buy fruit?
Maybe that's why it has to be held in captivity.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah.
None exist in nature. It's purely it's symbiotic. It's not unlike parasitism.
Wow, words.
Symbiotic parasitism.
Mm-hmm.
Symbiotic parrots. Write that down.
Never seen a parrot in a marching band.
Never seen it. Refuse to believe it. That's a
don't think it happened.
That's a parrot playing a sousaphone. But he can't read sight music. He has to hear it first. Parrots can't sight read, Chris. Not gonna happen.
Hey, did you see the jumble today?
What did it say?
I don't know. What is a jumble?
Oh, you mean a mudgeble?
I don't know. Oh. People like in the paper, they say that. Did you see the jumble?
I think a jumble is like a word scramble.
Oh, all right.
And a junior jumble is like for kids, so it's easy. So like it's you know, it's like dog, but it's God, right?
It's a junior jumblery.
It's jumblery.
Jumblery.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that doesn't make any sense. That's jumblery.
That's jumblery. Nobody feeds chocolate to fishes.
Feces. Nobody feeds chocolate to feces.
Nobody feeds chocolate.
That's jumblery.
I'm pretty certain that feces is mostly chocolate anyway.
It looks like it.
Is there a singled for feces? Is that singular? Fece?
That's fleece.
Feces?
Fleece.
My dictionary.
Your blanket is made out of old poop. Old singular poops.
No, you know that like that if you own something that is made of quote unquote fleece, odds are really good that it's made of discarded bottles.
Oh well, that's awesome.
No, yeah, I mean it's synthetic fleece, and they just they take old plastic and they fiberize it and they spin it out like wool. And so, like my blanket, my blue blanket, the only blanket I have that's tall enough for me.
Cole's blue blanket.
My Cole's blue blanket.
Blue blanket.
Blue blanket. Yeah, it's not a tit thing. It's a blanket, but it has a boo from Super Mario on it. It doesn't work unless you're facing away from it. So that's why I sleep on my tummy. That was the worst.
I got it.
Okay.
I'm really angry that I did.
You're just ashamed of that, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
It's like me being ashamed. Mom, we had one of our nieces over. She's making pizza rolls for her. And she was like, "Oh no, they popped open." It's like a pizza roll, if you overcook them, they pop open. And I say, "Well, no, actually that's advantageous because if they pop open, they actually cool down a lot faster. Otherwise, they will stay at the temperature of magma for a half hour." And then I realized what I just said, expressing opinions on the thermodynamics of pizza rolls. And I was very ashamed of myself.
Why aren't you employable?
This has been Those Damn Ross Kids.
So Chris, homework for the listeners. Review us on iTunes. Subscribe to us on iTunes. You can tell your friends about us. In the past like week or so, I added something to the website. You can, if you want to contact us, go to duckfeed.tv/contact. There is a form there. If you have comments about the show, if you have technical concerns, if there's something you want to see, if there's a story submission, you can put that there. Make sure you select everything. That's an option, so I know what to do with it. And that is going to be the best way to get in touch with me and the show in the future. Also, if you would like to subscribe to our mailing list, you can find that in the upper right hand of the of all the pages on the site. It's a little DuckFeed logo with mailing list attached to it. What else can they do, Chris?
I think you pretty much covered it.
Yeah.
We had a couple of new Facebook friends here in the past couple of weeks.
Ooh, yeah.
Let's Bryce Eyerly.
Hey, Bryce.
And the guy named Jason Ferris.
Jason Ferris. He added us today on the day that we record this.
He is from Wisconsin.
Yeah. Hey, buddy. How's it going?
He likes sports.
He's a big sports fan.
He likes Rush.
Oh, I'm a man of my own spirit of the radio.
That's Jason Ferris.
I like the lesson. The lesson of this segment, where we name people who follow us on Facebook, is to recognize people who follow us on Facebook, but also to make people realize that this information is public. Yeah. So how's it going, buddy? I bet you don't regret liking us. No, seriously, thank you for listening. It's much appreciated. Good night.
Good night.